How do you add value, extreme value, to a property while you're remodeling it? Welcome to the REI Society Podcast, everyone. Thank you guys for being here. I'm super excited about this episode because this is the episode where I teach you how I have created extreme value in my own rehabs over the years. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I mean, I've flipped probably 1,600 homes by now for the last 18 years, had over 100 rentals. We're going on to our 7th and 8th short-term rental now. So anyways, let's move forward with how this works. Look, when you're buying a property, or when I'm buying a property, I'm looking at properties that are distressed, of course, but I'm also looking at properties that are functionally obsolete. Now, functionally obsolete is a real estate term, meaning that it is not conforming to today's time. The floor plan is not consistent or conforming to today's times. So 2021, you know, a two bedroom, one bath is typically outdated, or a three bedroom, one bath is extremely outdated. 2-1 is actually, you know, more valuable than a 3-1. So what I like to do is I like to take properties that are functionally obsolete, that are outdated, that are not to the equivalent of a 2020 or a 2021 home, and make it equivalent to one of those types of home, one of those homes that are modernized and that flows well in this day and age. So I usually buy two bedroom, one bath homes with carports. I love that. I like taking a carport. In fact, I did a YouTube video on it, on one of them I did in Atlanta. I'll link into the show notes. But I highly recommend you watch this one. But this one right here was a two bedroom, one bath with an oversized carport. And I knew that a carport, you know, if you enclose into a garage, you enclose it or you leave it as a carport, it adds no additional value. But if you take this property and enclose it, add some wiring, add some plumbing, now I can create a master bedroom and a master bathroom with just maybe $20,000 in improvements. And it adds another $60,000 or more, depending upon your area, in value. So I like those value adds. I like taking a floor plan that is already laid out and reconstructing. Of course, I'll go in and do like a lot of people do when you're walking into a living room and it's boxed off and you have to go through a doorway to get to the dining room and kitchen. Of course, especially in these old brick ranches, I will blow out the wall that's dividing it, open it up, put an LVL header. I personally like to case it out in wood and stain it so it has a really nice accent piece. And I highly recommend that you guys do that as well. It just gives a little more pop for very little dollar. But with that said, that's a way of modernizing a property. The carport, like in that previous example, is a way of modernizing a property, going from a 2-1 to a 3-2. When I'm walking through a property, I'm looking for oversized bathrooms in particular. If there's a two bedroom, one bath, or actually a three bedroom, one bath, I'm specifically looking for oversized closets adjacent to an oversized bathroom. And when, bathrooms don't really have to be large. They don't have to be big bathrooms. If you have an oversized bathroom, what I would like to do is I like to split them in half. So I will frame up a wall in the middle, of course, making sure I have doorways to get into them from one of the bedrooms. But I'll have a doorway, give me access, but I'll frame up a divider wall. And now you have one bathroom and now you got another. You know, I've got multiple examples of buying properties and taking an oversized bathroom in a three bedroom, one bath, which is extremely outdated as a floor plan. And all you need is a small vanity. It could be a 24 inch vanity. You need a toilet, and absolute worst case scenario, you need a stand up shower. If you can fit a tub in with a shower, a backsplash, tile backsplash, or maybe a fiberglass insert, that's completely good. That's actually better. But if you can't get anything else but just a small stand-up shower, you still have a full bathroom. I like to create two bathrooms out of one in that example. Another thing I like to do is I like to go up and into attics. If the attic is sizable enough for me to finish out, and I've got a 3-2 already, but I can convert this 3-2 into a 4-2 because there's a set of stairs that takes me into the attic space. I actually like to finish out that attic space and turn it into another bedroom, possibly even a bathroom. According to how big it is, how large it is, you can actually run plumbing on the side of a house, paint it, or frame it out where it's enclosed, making it look like a chimney casing going up. But you can enclose the plumbing and run it all the way up into a bathroom in an attic if there's no other way to do it, and you have a bedroom and a bathroom. I've created many 4-bedroom, 2-bath floor plans out of a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with just this open attic space that nobody was using for heated square footage, and they were only using it for storage. We run duct work to it. We're running HVAC, doing a dual zoning kind of type setup for the HVAC. But that is another way to add extreme value. When I first started in flipping houses, all across America, there was these floor plans. I think they're becoming outdated themselves now, but they're the split foyers. A split foyer, traditionally, a builder would go in, slap a 3-2 house on a second floor. You walk up the steps, you have to go up more steps, and now you're upstairs, and that's your main floor plan. That's your main floor. But if you go downstairs, it's an above grade basement, and it's usually unfinished. If you can go in and finish that basement, add a couple bedrooms and a bathroom, now you're taking a 3-2 split foyer and converting it to a 2-, 3-, and 4 bedroom house. And a lot of times those basements are above grade. So what does that mean, Brandon? What does above grade mean? Well, you have above grade and below grade. Below grade usually means that you have a basement and it's partially under the ground. It's below the grading. Above grade means it's above the grade. It's above the grading, so it's above ground. So from real estate equity standpoints, anything below grade is usually drafted at, or I guess monetized at 50% of the ARV, no matter if you finish the property out. So if you're turning a property into, you know, this nice, awesome 3-2 downstairs, and you already got a 3-2 upstairs, and you're thinking you're gonna add so much value, because it's below grade, you may not get that. So let's just say you're adding another 1,000 square footage of finished square footage, and your cost per square foot in your area is 100 a square foot, and you're thinking you're adding $100,000 to the property. Because it's below grade, you're probably only adding $50,000 to the property, if that makes sense. What I like to do is I like to find homes with above grade unfinished basements. Those are the ones where you can finish out the property down below in that bottom floor, and you can get 100% of your value. Here's another example. I bought a home in Billerica, Georgia, 4 years after I lost everything. I found this 4,000 square foot home, which was a 3-story home. And Tiffany and I bought it to live in. We scrounged up our money over a period of 3 years after going bankrupt, and we could buy it for $45,000 cash. We got an amazing deal, and of course that was rock bottom prices, getting a 4,000 square foot home for $45,000. It's kind of, you know, there's no way you can do that now in 2020 leading into 2021. But when, you know, back in 2012, I got an amazing deal. I bought it $45,000. Rehabbed all 3 floors. Now this was an above grade basement, and it was unfinished. It had 2 bedrooms and a bathroom that I could see and envision that I can add to it. So they were pricing it as a foreclosure, as a distressed property, only for the second floor and the top floor. And if you go into the house and go up the stairs, you actually walked into the middle floor and had to walk all the way to the top floor, but the bottom floor was above grade. And you know, it's kind of hard to explain over a podcast, but just trust me, it was above grade and wasn't below grade. And I saw that, my gosh, this property at this time was probably only worth $130,000. And I got it for $45,000 because it was a complete train wreck. But if I finish this basement out, now I've got a 5-bedroom house with 6 bathrooms. It was a big house, like I said, 4,000 square feet. And I can turn it into a 7-bedroom house with 7 bathrooms by doing some things that I was going to do to it. So we did. So I think we spent probably $50,000 in renovations. Back then, labor was a lot cheaper because you got to think, we're coming out of the recession. Materials was a lot cheaper because we didn't have COVID stopping production. So I could do a full-on high-grade renovation that would probably cost me $75,000, $80,000 now. Back then, for like $50,000 to $55,000. And I did. And I created this massive amount of improvement. I'm in the property, $100,000, $105,000. And in 2016, we sold it for $215,000. I pocketed $100,000. And I did it tax-free because it was my primary residence and I lived there 2 out of the last 5 years. But that's some ways of thinking outside the box to create some massive equity plays in your rehabs. One of my most recent examples was a short-term rental. Now, if you've listened to any of my episodes about short-term rentals, you know I feel like that's a new asset class. You understand that I feel like that's going to be eventually priced on income approach and not sales approach. So I actually just bought a property for a short-term rental last year in the North Georgia Mountains in LAJ, Georgia. And it was a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom cabin with an unfinished basement. And of course, finishing a basement didn't get me excited in this house because it was below grade. If it was a flip, this wouldn't make sense. But because I'm holding this one long-term for a short-term rental, and I understand years down the road when I do sell it, it's probably going to be priced off of the income approach and not the sales approach. That's where I'm getting really extremely excited about things. So I saw that I can increase the value extremely for my income by finishing this basement out and adding a bathroom. So now I've got a 3rd bedroom, I've got a 3rd bathroom, and now I have a 3-3. Well, when you're renting out short-term rentals, when you're renting out on Airbnb and VRBO, you understand that the more beds you can offer, the more heads can sleep there, and the more money you can make. If I had left that a 2-bedroom, 2-bath with just an unfinished basement for storage, I wouldn't have made as much money as I would if I actually finished that basement out. So what I'm trying to say is you also have to understand what your exit strategy is. If you're flipping, you need to go remodel it from that standpoint. If you're going to hold this property long-term, you need to understand that you're going to rehab it to this standpoint. A long-term rental and a short-term rental may be a different design type than a flip property for value purposes. A long-term rental and short-term rental, you're more or less rehabbing it for income coming in. For flips, you're rehabbing a property for, of course, income coming to you, but equity play to add more value. And you're based off of appraisals, and that's above grade. Anything above grade that's heated square footage is considered living space. And of course, like I said earlier, below grade, you know, square footage that's finished is living space too, but they're going to price it at 50%, give or take. Ask your local realtor what it's going for in your area, but 50% of the above grade value. So look, now I have, let's go into one last example. I bought a triplex and a little house recently, and it was all on a street corner. Did it with letters. We were sending marketing to direct to the seller, and we had a house that's right behind us, and or that was right behind this triplex too. And the owner owned all of these properties in kind of like an L-shaped format. I'm actually trying to get the property right beside it because then I own the whole quarter, and they're actually building up in my hometown like a French Quarters kind of development with these beautiful buildings and lofts up top and restaurants on the bottom. And my property is right across the street. So if I can get that one next door to me, I can do really well. I'll probably list the whole corner for like $2 million. But anyways, long story short, I bought the triplex and the little house next door to it for $55,000, and we put $100,000 into the property. Now, this originally was a house, but we made it into a triplex. Well, it was already set up as a triplex, but we modernized it as a triplex. Of course, I've got one bedroom studios in there. I've got two bedroom, one bath houses in there. And I realized that I couldn't figure out how to add more square footage because the original design and me wanting to be in this rehab for under $100,000. So what did I do? I actually made it really, really nice and high end. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about this rehab for the equity play and added value and in multifamily, even though it's residential, anything under four units is considered residential. But to me, it's multifamily because I got multiple families living there. I'm gonna rehab this to a play where I can get top dollar. So I've got 500,000, I got 500 to 600 square foot homes that that I'm rehabbing, and I wanted to make it extremely nice. Granite in there, you know, shaker cabinets, nice updated colors, beautiful LVL floors all the way throughout. And we just made these things super high end. We made them real privacy. We're doing kind of like a luxury long-term rental, not really luxury, but it kind of feels nice and updated. And then on top of that, we're providing all the services. We're cutting the lawns and we're blowing out the gutters and doing everything that we need to do to keep the property up. And these people are completely hands off. And our pitch to them is anytime you need anything, message us through our portal online and we'll be there to take care of you. And we did. We did that. We advertised it and we're getting like $200 a square foot for rental, which is unheard of in my area. But I know after 18 years of doing business, if I go into a property and add value the way that the exit strategy should be in play, then I can do a whole lot more to value play, to add value to these properties for my exit strategy, based on my exit strategy. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. You have to look at where you're what you're doing. If you're flipping a home, you need to add value according to the flip. If you're creating a long-term rental, add value according to the long-term rental. If you're creating a short-term rental, add value according to the short-term rental. And know that there's different ways to do it. And when you're looking at a house, look for those oversized rooms. Look for those basements that can be finished. Determine whether it's below grade or above grade. Look for the, like I said, look for those oversized rooms that you can split. Can you add value by finishing off an attic space? Can you enclose a carport? Okay, guys, if you like this episode, go ahead and screenshot this. Tag me at Brandon G. Thompson. Send it up to all your buddies in Instagram land. Share it on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, everywhere. We want to really build this thing up for an educational platform. We're trying to get more subscribers. And the right way of doing it is to build word of mouth. They're not going to trust me in case they don't know me, but they will trust you because you're sharing it. And I greatly appreciate that. On top of that, if you're interested in anything I'm talking about, anything at all, go to my YouTube channel, which is in the show notes, subscribe, share my videos, and then from there, tell everybody about the podcast. Like I said, tell them about the podcast. I'm going back to that. I know I just said that, but I'm really trying to push this thing out there and give more educational content based upon real world experience. So thank you guys so much. Have a great day. See you soon. Bye-bye.